But...
Why is her window down?
He asked Forrest.
From what you told me, she doesn't know anybody around here. She's gotta have some basic street smarts, so who'd she roll the window down for?
Deputized 2 minutes and already thinking like a cop. Makes me proud of my own character assessment.
Put these on.
Griff looked at the gloves.
Oh, man. Don't want you to handle anything, probably, but just in case. Use your phone. Take some notes for me.
Why?
Don't you have backup coming or something? They'll be coming. This woman came at my sister. I want a leg up. Get the make, model, license plate. Go on and get a picture of the plate. She's got a high-end rental here. We'll find out where she got it.
He shone his light in the car.
Hearse is still in here, sitting on the passenger seat. Closed. Keys in the ignition. Engine off.
She'd have had to turn the key to get the window down.
Strange town, she'd have locked the car up, right? Son, if you ever give up carpentry and such, I'd take you on.
Forrest opened the passenger door, crouched, opened the purse.
She's got herself a pretty little baby Glock here.
Now Griff leaned over Forrest's shoulder.
She had a gun in her purse? It's Tennessee, Griff. Half the women in that bar are carrying. Loaded, clean. I'd say it hasn't been fired recently. Got a Florida driver's license under the name Madeline Elizabeth Proctor, and that's not the name she gave Shelby. Miami address. Got her DOB as 82285. Got some lipstick, looks pretty new. Got herself a folding combat knife. Jesus, nice one too. Blackhawk. Visa and American Express card, same name. We got $232 in cash and a key card for a room at the lodge at Buckberry Creek in Gatlinburg. Fancy.
Didn't want to get rousted. When Forrest glanced over, Griff shrugged.
She had to know Shelby had a cop for her brother. Go at Shelby, she's going to have a cop rousting her. Plus plenty of family circling the wagons. So she doesn't stay at the local hotel, which is pretty fancy, too. She puts some distance between herself and the ridge, gives Shelby a phony name.
See why I deputized you?
So, what do you figure happened here?
Seriously?
Dead woman in the car, Griff.
Curious, Forrest straightened up, rolled his shoulders.
It's pretty serious, all in all. Well, I'd guess she came tonight to mess with Shelby's head. Keep herself right in the front of Shelby's mind. Once Shelby spotted her, she could go. She came out, got in her car, most likely to drive back to Gatlinburg. Somebody came over to the car, to the driver's side. I'm leaning towards she recognized whoever it was and felt easy enough to lower the window instead of driving off or getting her own gun. After she rolled down the window...
Griff mimed putting a gun to his forehead, made it trigger with his thumb.
That's my way of thinking, too. If I didn't know my mama would call you instead of me when the porches need scraping and painting, I'd talk you into joining the sheriff's department. Not on a bet. I don't like guns. You'd get over it.
He looked over as a cruiser pulled in.
Shit. Should have known he'd send Barrow first off. Guy's affable enough, but slow as a lame turtle. Go on back in, Griff. Round up Derek and fill him in. You want me to fill Derek in? Save some time. He's a competent individual himself, and he's been working the bar most of the night. Could be he saw somebody who didn't strike him quite right. Whoever did this is long gone. Yeah, for right now, anyway. You're a lot quicker than Barrow, Griff. Course, that doesn't take much. What we got here, Forrest? Hey, Griff, how's it going? Sheriff said, holy shitfire,
Barrow said when he saw the body.
Is she dead?
I'd say that's affirmative, Woody.
Forrest rolled his eyes at Griff. Griff went inside to find Derek and fill him in. 14. Shelby sat in the tiny office holding the Coke Tansy had pushed on her with both hands. She didn't think she could actually swallow. O.C. Hardigan had been sheriff for as long as she could remember. He'd always scared her a little, but she figured that was the badge more than the man. Not that she'd ever been in any trouble, any real trouble. He'd gone full gray since she'd left the ridge, so his buzz cut looked like a shorn-off Brillo pad. His square-jawed face was fleshier than it had been, and he carried a more generous paunch. He smelled of peppermint over tobacco. She knew he was being gentle with her and appreciated it. He'd said Forrest had given him a full report on her encounter with the victim. He called the woman the victim, but had Shelby go through it all again.
And you'd never seen her, been contacted by her, talked to her before this morning?
No, sir.
And you're the man you knew as Richard Foxworth. He never mentioned anyone named Natalie Sinclair or Madeline Proctor?
No, sir. Not that I remember.
And this private investigator, this Ted Privett, he never said her name to you?
No, Sheriff. I'm sure of that.
How about this Mickey O'Hara she talked about?
I never heard about him before, either. Not until she talked about him.
All righty, then. What time was it, would you say, when you saw her tonight?
I think it had to be about 10:30, maybe 10:25. I was more than halfway through the third set, and I started right about 10. She was all the way in the back, the far right corner. She held her hand up to demonstrate. My right, that is. I didn't see her before that, but the light's dim back there. She made herself take a drink. After I saw her, she got up. Not in a hurry. It was like, all right, now you've seen me, now I made my point and I can go. She had a martini glass, but I don't know who was working that table. It had to be at least 15 more minutes before I finished the set and could tail Forrest. Might have been a few minutes more, but no more than 20. I had 4 songs left after the one I was doing when I saw her. And the talk between songs, well, I keep that short, so 15 minutes, likely no more than 17.
Did you see anyone follow her out?
I didn't, but I was looking for Forrest once she got up and started out. I wasn't watching the door.
I bet you saw a lot of familiar faces in the crowd tonight.
I did. It was so nice to see everyone. She thought of Arlo. Mostly.
A lot of unfamiliar ones, too.
Tansy did a lot of marketing. She had flyers all over. I heard we had a lot of people in tonight who were staying at the hotel and the lodge and so on. Even campers who came in tonight. Something new, you know?
Wish I could have been here myself. We're going to make a point of it, the wife and me, next time. Now, did anybody strike you, Shelby? Somebody who just didn't look right?
I didn't notice. Arlo Cattery was here with the 2 he always hung around with, but they left at the start of the second set.
Arlo's mostly for Shady's or one of the roadhouses.
He didn't do anything but sit, have a few beers, then go on. I'm just thinking of him because he never looked right to me.
Never has been.
I guess for most of it I was pulling on the familiar faces more, and the couples. A lot of the songs I did tonight, well, they're romantic, so I played to that. It couldn't have been anybody from the Ridge, Sheriff. Nobody even knew her. He patted her hand.
Don't you worry now, we'll figure it out. If you think of anything else, anything at all, you tell me about it. Or you tell Forrest, if that's easier for you.
I don't know what to think. I don't know what to think about any of it. Out in the restaurant, Griff had done about all he could. He'd helped organize people so the deputies could take statements or just names. He'd helped Derek serve out coffee, soft drinks, water, as another deputy interviewed the staff in the kitchen. He'd gone out once for air, had seen the police lights around the BMW, and timed it, inadvertently, so that he watched them loading the bagged body into the coroner's wagon. An experience, he decided, he'd be happy never to repeat. The second time he made rounds with coffee, Forrest pulled him aside.
Shelby's going to be out in a minute or so. I need to keep my hands in this thing here. I'm trusting you with my sister, Griff, because I can. I'll look out for her. I know you will. She pushed Emma Kate to go home, and that's likely for the best. She'll get out of here quicker without another female to stroke her and ask for details. Get her home. You can count on it. I know I can. Coroner will know for certain once he digs the bullet out of her, but eyeballing, he figures a 25.
Do you know who she is yet? Real name?
Distracted, Forrest shook his head.
We've got her prints now. I'll be running them myself tonight. There's Shelby now. Give me a second with her, then get her out. She argues, carry her out.
If I do, don't shoot me.
Not this time.
Forrest walked over, took Shelby by the shoulders as he studied her face, then just drew her in, held her. Whatever he said had her shaking her head again and again as she burrowed into him. Then she sagged a little, shrugged. When Forrest let her go, she started toward Griff. He met her halfway.
Forrest says you need to drive me home. I'm sorry he's being so fussy.
Whatever Forrest says, I'm driving you home. Men aren't fussy. That's a girly word. We're logical and protective.
Sounds fussy to me, but thank you.
Let's go.
I should find Tansy first, or Derek, or...
They're busy.
He didn't go as far as carrying her, but he took her hand, pulled her firmly away from the building and the hard lights.
We'll take your van.
How are you going to get home if...
Don't worry about it. You'll need the van. I'll drive.
He held out his hand for the keys.
All right. My brain's too rattled to argue. Nobody knew her around here. People around here don't just walk up to a strange woman and shoot her in the head, for God's sake.
Which should tell you whoever did isn't from around here.
She looked up at him with considerable relief.
That's what I said to the sheriff.
She brought trouble with her, Shelby. That's how it reads to me.
It has to be that O'Hara person.
The one, Shelby remembered, the brunette had warned her about.
She said he was in prison, but she lied about her own name, so who knows what else she lied about. If it was him, and if she was telling the truth about Richard, about all those millions, it's not safe to be around me.
A lot of ifs there. I'll add some.
He shot her a glance, sorrier than he could say that the sparkle she'd emitted when she sang had dulled.
If this O'Hara's around and did this, and if he thinks maybe you know something about those millions, it would be pretty stupid to hurt you.
He waited until she got in the van, then settled behind the wheel.
And if he's such a badass, why didn't she drive away? Get the gun in her purse? Why just sit there?
I don't know.
She let her head drop back on the seat.
I thought things couldn't get crazier. After Richard died and the roof caved in, I thought, this is as bad as it can get. Then it got worse. Then I thought, all right, now that's as bad as it gets and we'll work our way through it. Then she came here and it's worse again. And now this.
You've had a streak of bad luck.
I guess you could put it that way.
Luck changes. Yours already has.
At an easy speed, he followed the wind of the road.
You sold the house. You're carving away the debt. You packed the house tonight and had them in the palm of your hand.
You think so?
I was in the house,
he said.
And you've got a date with me coming. I'm a damn good catch.
She didn't think she had a smile in her, but he found it for her.
Are you?
Damn right. Just ask my mother. Hell, ask yours.
You don't lack in the confidence department, do you, Griffin?
I know who I am, he told her as he pulled up at her house.
How the hell are you getting home?
She pushed fingers against that headache spot between her eyes.
I didn't even think. You can take the van, and I could get Daddy to drive me over and pick it up in the morning.
Don't worry about it.
He got out, came around. She'd opened the door before he got to it, but he took her hand when she got out.
You don't have to walk me to the door.
It's just one of the many things that make me such a good catch.
The door opened as they came up the walk.
Oh, baby girl!
I'm all right, Mama.
Of course you are! Come on in here, Griffin. Ada Mae scooped Shelby up in a hug.
Your granny and grandpa came by, told us everything. Forrest, is he still over there?
Yeah, he's still there.
Good. Don't you worry about Callie. I checked on her 5 minutes ago and she's sound asleep. Why don't I make you something to eat?
I couldn't, Mama.
Let me look at the girl.
Clayton stepped up, tipped up Shelby's face.
You're pale and you're tired.
I guess I am.
If you can't sleep, I'll give you a little something, but you give it a try first.
I will. I guess I'll go on up. Daddy, Griff left his truck back at the bar and grill so he could bring me home. Thank you, Griff. She turned, touched her lips to his cheek.
I'm going to see you settled and tucked in.
Ada Mae put an arm around Shelby's waist.
Thank you, Griff, for seeing to my baby girl. You're a good boy.
But am I a good catch?
At Shelby's tired laugh, Ada Mae gave a puzzled smile.
Best in the whole pool. Come on now, my baby.
Clayton waited until they were up the stairs.
You got time for a beer and some details, Griff? If you'd make that a Coke or ginger ale, I've got time. I plan to bunk on your couch there anyway. I can get you back to your truck.
I'd feel better bunking right here tonight. I don't think there's going to be any trouble, but I'd feel better right here.
All right, then. We'll have a Coke and a talk. Then I'll get you a pillow and a blanket.
An hour later, Griff stretched out on the couch. A pretty comfortable couch. God knew he'd slept on a lot worse. He stared up at the ceiling a while, thinking of Shelby, letting some of the songs she'd sung that night replay in his head. At some point, he'd let the whole business play around, like the songs, in his head. It's how he solved most problems. Let all the pieces roll around, try fitting some together, taking them apart again until a picture formed. Right now, the only clear picture was Shelby. She was in plenty of trouble, no doubt about it. Maybe he couldn't resist a damsel in distress. Not that he'd use that term out loud. Besides, if a woman liked the term, if she was the sort who just wanted to sit around doing nothing while he rescued her, well, she'd bore the crap out of him in short order. And that would be right before she irritated him so he never wanted to deal with her again. So it probably wasn't the damsel in distress thing, now that he thought about it. Turn that around into a smart, strong woman who just needed some help. Add in the way she looked, the way she sounded, the way she was. He'd be a moron if he didn't want the whole package. He was no moron. He let his eyes close, ordered his mind to go drifting. Drifting, he dropped. Slept light and restless until, on the edge of dreams, he heard something that brought him to full alert again. An old house settling? He asked himself as he strained to hear.
No.
That was creaking boards and footsteps. He slid off the couch, moved quietly in the direction of the sound, and, braced to attack, slapped on the lights. Shelby clamped a hand over her own mouth to muffle the scream.
Sorry, Jesus, sorry, Griff began.
She waved her free hand, shook her head, then leaned back against the wall. Slowly, she dropped her other hand.
Well, what's another 10 years? What are you doing here?
I'm bunking on the living room couch.
Oh.
Now she dragged her fingers through her hair in a way that made all those wild curls go just a bit madder, and tightened every muscle in his body.
I'm sorry. I couldn't sleep, so I came down to make some tea or something.
Okay.
Do you want some tea or something?
On a thoughtful frown, she cocked her head.
Do you want some scrambled eggs?
Oh, yeah.
He followed her back to the kitchen. She wore cotton pajama bottoms, bright blue with yellow flowers all over them, and a yellow t-shirt. He could have lapped her up like ice cream. She put the kettle on, got out a skillet.
I can't turn my mind off, she began. But if I asked Daddy for a sleeping pill, Mama'd start fussing again.
They love you a lot.
I'm lucky they do.
She put a pat of butter in the skillet,
let it melt while she beat some eggs. I thought when the woman told me all those things this morning, the client of that detective was probably the person they all stole from.
It's a good guess.
Now I wonder, was this woman the client? Did he find me, follow me here, all of that for her? She said no when I asked her, but she was a liar. So maybe she had him follow me so she could come and push me for something I don't know.
That's another good guess. But if you're wondering, did he kill her? Why would he?
I can't come up with something for that, except maybe she double-crossed him somewhere. He talked about finder's fees on this theft I didn't believe with Forrest. I mean, I didn't believe Richard had stolen all that.
I know what you meant.
I believe it now, and I think she and Richard were good at that sort of thing. Stealing and double-crossing. Or maybe they were lovers, the woman and the detective, and she betrayed him.
I don't think so.
Frowning again, she popped some bread in the toaster. Why not?
I think if you add in love or sex, or both, it's murder. It's more personal. You've got to fight first, right?
She considered that. I guess I would.
Most would, Griff decided. You've got to want to tell the other person what they did to you. You want, I'd think, some physical contact. This struck me as pretty damn cold.
You really found her?
Forrest was looking left, I was looking right. That's all.
You stayed so calm. At least it seems you did. You looked calm when you came back in. I couldn't tell anything was wrong by the way you looked. I think most people would have panicked.
I try to avoid panic because it leads to chaos, which leads to accidents. You get hurt that way. That happened to me when I was 17, climbing back out of Annie Roebuck's bedroom window.
Climbing out?
His smile was quick and crooked.
Climbing in was a breeze.
Was she expecting you?
Oh, yeah. She was the focus of my hormonal obsession for 6.5 crazed and blissful months, and I was hers. We went at it like rabbits on crack, and the fact that her parents were asleep right across the hall only enhanced the insanity. Until the night we were lying there momentarily in our post-coital coma, and she reached over for her bottle of water, knocked over the lamp. It crashed like a bomb.
Uh-oh.
Fucking oh,
he concurred.
We hear her father call her name. I'm scrambling up, trying to get into my pants. My heart's a jackhammer. I'm sweating bullets. Yeah, you laugh,
he said when she did.
At the time, it was a nightmare of Elm Street proportions. Annie's calling back, telling him she's all right, just knocked something over, and hissing at me to get out, get out, get out. She can't remember if she locked the door. So I'm out the window, half-dressed, panicked, and I lose my footing. Another uh-oh, and a big ouch with it. I fell mostly in the azaleas, but still managed to break my wrist. I see the pain, like this bright white light as I'm tearing ass for cover. If I hadn't panicked, I'd have climbed on down as smooth as I had every other time, and wouldn't have had to fake falling on my way to the John once I got home so my father could take me to the ER and have my wrist set.
She set a plate of eggs with a side of toast in front of him, and had to quell the oddest urge to just wrap around him and snuggle, as she did with Callie.
I really hope you didn't make all that up just to take my mind off things.
I didn't have to, but I'd hoped it would take your mind off things.
What became of Annie?
She became a newscaster. Worked local for a while in Baltimore. She's in New York now. We email now and again. She got married a couple summers back. Nice guy.
He sampled the eggs.
Good eggs.
Scrambled eggs always taste best at 3 a.m. Was she your first, Annie?
Well, no, don't answer that. I'll put you on the spot.
My first was when I was just shy of 17. It was his first, too. July Parker.
July?
Born on the first of the month. He was a sweet boy, and we fumbled our way through it. With the smile, her eyes went a little blurry as she looked back. It was sweet. like July in its way, but it didn't tempt me to repeat it all again, not till the summer before college. That wasn't so much better, and he wasn't so sweet as July. I decided to concentrate on my singing, the band, college. Then Richard just bowled me over. And that was that.
What happened to July?
He's a park ranger. Lives in Pigeon Forge now. Mama tells me bits and pieces. He's not married yet, but he's with a nice girl. I expect you're considering having sex with me at some point. He didn't lose his balance on the segue.
It's more planning on it.
Well, now you have the outline of my experience in that area. Fumbling, sweetly, disappointment, and Richard. And with Richard, none of it was real. None of it was true.
It's no problem, Red. I'll show you the ropes.
She laughed. You do swagger.
Sorry?
You're a swaggering man, Griffin, walking and talking. She finished her eggs, took her plate to the sink to rinse. If I ever work my way up to your plan, I can't promise it'll be good or there'll be any post-coital comas, but it'll be true. That counts for something. Night.
Good night.
And he sat a long while in the quiet kitchen, wishing Richard Foxworth hadn't gone out in that boat. Wishing he'd at least lived through the squall so they'd have a chance to face each other. So he could kick the bastard's ass.
Her legal name was Melinda Warren.
Forrest stood in what had once been his bedroom and watched Griff sand the seams on drywall.
Age 31, born Springbrook, Illinois. Did time for fraud, so that much was true. And that was her first real stint, though she did some time in juvie once upon a time. Got pulled in here and there on suspicion. Theft, fraud, forgery. Nothing stuck until this last one. And married sure enough to one Jake Brimley in Las Vegas about 7 years back. No divorce on record. And you're sure Jake Brimley was Richard Foxworth? Working on that. The coroner was right about the slug, 25 caliber, contact shot. Something like that. It'd rattle around in her skull like a marble in a pan.
Nice. Still sanding, Griff glanced around.
Why are you telling me all this? Well, you found her, so I'm respecting your vested interest. You're a funny guy, Pomeroy. I've got knees being slapped all over the county. Other than respecting your vested interest, I came by here to tell Shelby, but she and everybody else is someplace else. You're the only one here.
I am now,
Griff confirmed.
Matt's out getting supplies for what we'll be doing here Monday. Plus, I'm better at drywall work than he is. He's not very patient at it. And you are.
Griff adjusted the Baltimore Orioles fielder's cap he wore to help keep the dust out of his eyes.
It just takes time, and sooner or later it's smooth as glass. Shelby's at the salon, he added. Your mother took Callie to the flower place to buy some plants for something she's calling a fairy garden. Her friend Susanna's coming by with Chelsea later so the girls can dig in the dirt. Your father's at the clinic.
Forrest took a slug from the bottle of Mountain Dew he carried.
You're well informed about my family, Griffin. I slept on the couch downstairs last night.
Forrest nodded.
Another reason I'm telling you all this. If I'm not looking out for my family, I know you are. It's appreciated.
They matter. Griff ran his fingers down the seam and, satisfied, moved to the next.
I had time this morning to speak to Clay about all this and other things. We're wondering, as brothers might, if you're just looking to bang our sister.
Jesus, Forrest!
And Griff beat his head lightly against the wall.
It's a reasonable question. Not when I'm standing here with a sanding block and you've got a gun. I won't shoot you. This time.
Griff glanced back, measured his friend's easy smile.
Comforting. I'm looking to spend some time with your sister and see what happens next. My impression is the dead fake husband messed her mind up pretty good in the area you're concerned about. I'm not surprised to hear it. I'm going to get back to work. What about the other guy? This O'Hara?
Forrest smiled again.
And there's the final reason I'm telling you all this. You keep up. Name's not O'Hara. James Jimmy Harlow. He went down with the brunette, a harder knock. According to the tune she sang at the time, they'd been working a con on a rich widow named of Lydia Red Montville. Big, real big, money there on her own side and her dead husband's. Foxworth, we'll just stick with that for now, romanced her. He had bona fides, said he was a wealthy entrepreneur with interests in art and import-export.
He took another swig from his bottle, gestured with it.
The brunette posed as his assistant, Harlow as his security. They worked the mark for 2 months or so, defrauded her out of close to $1 million. But they wanted more. She was known for her jewelry, and her late husband for his stamp collection. Had a vault full of both of them. According to the brunette, this was going to be their big score, retirement time. Isn't that always the way? Widow's son started asking too many questions on the deals Foxworth aimed her toward, so they decided to get it done, get out. Things went wrong.
Things always do on the last score, right? You're jinxing it right off the jump.
Seems like it. The widow was supposed to be away for a few days at a spa thing, which turned out to be she was having a little tune-up, plastic surgery, because she had a younger lover and didn't want to tell him she was getting nipped and tucked. It plays true. So they're in her big house getting into the vault, going to clean her out and book it. The son brings her home where she plans to sit out the bruises, I expect, and they're red-handed in the cookie jar.
Some cookies.
It appears either Foxworth or Harlow shoots the son. The brunette comes out of the bedroom, knocks the widow out. She claims to keep Harlow from shooting her, too, though he claims it was Foxworth doing the shooting.
Rats ratting on rats.
Duplicity, Griff decided. It's a suitable word of the day.
That's a fine one.
What happened next?
What happened next is, and both Warren and Harlow agree on this end of it, Foxworth grabs the bag they'd put the jewelry and stamps in, and they scat, leaving the son and widow a bloody mess.
Panic.
Meticulously, Griff tested the next seam.
It's a gateway to accidents. The widow comes too, calls an ambulance for the son. It was touch and go there, but he pulled through. Neither of them can say for sure who fired the weapon. It all happened fast, and the son was in a coma for near to 3 weeks and never did get anything but spotty memory back of the whole event.
What about the bad guys?
They split up, with plans to meet at a motel on the way to the Keys, where there's supposed to be a private plane waiting to take them to St. Kitts.
I always wanted to go there.
I take it not all the bad guys made it to the tropics.
No, they didn't.
The brunette and Harlow show up at the motel. Foxworth didn't. But the cops did. Because Foxworth tipped them off. Now you're stepping on my finish. They sure did get an anonymous call from a drop phone, and it's smart money to bet it was Foxworth.
Griff snagged the Mountain Dew from Forrest, took a long gulp before handing it back.
Honor among thieves is bullshit.
The shittiest bull in the field. To top it, Harlow had a diamond ring in his pocket worth about $100,000. Pretty clear Foxworth planted it on him just to sweeten the duplicity.
Nice use of the word.
I've got some skills. He'd done time before, Harlow, but nothing violent. He swears he didn't shoot anybody, and that the brunette had a clear eye line on who did. But she made the deal first, and they stuck with it. She got 4 years. He got 25. And Foxworth walked away with millions.
That'd piss you off.
Wouldn't it just?
But if Harlow's doing 25 years, should be. But he's out.
Slowly, Griff lowered the sanding block.
How the hell did that happen?
The prison authorities in the state of Florida wonder the same. He escaped right before Christmas.
Happy fucking holidays.
Rolling it around, Griff took off his cap, shook off the dust, settled it on again.
He's got to be the prime suspect on this murder. Why didn't you tell me straight off?
I wanted to see if you'd get around to asking. I already sent his mugshot to your phone, though all three of them had a hand with disguises. He's a big guy, formidable.
Like Big Bud?
Tickled, Forrest laughed.
No, I said big, not massive. You take a look at the picture I sent, and if you see anybody who puts you in mind of it, stay clear and call me.
You got that?
Forrest, you said he never got busted for violent crimes, but the brunette told Shelby different, that he was violent.
Makes you wonder, doesn't it?
Keep an eye on my sister, Griff.
Both of them.
Forrest started out.
It's tedious work you're doing there.
Griff shrugged.
It's just work,
he said, and went back to sanding. 15. Shelby stood by the counter in Emma Kate's trim little kitchen and watched her friend slide a lasagna casserole into the oven. She didn't have long, but wanted to squeeze through the small window of time to see Emma Kate in her apartment.
I'm going to get laid good and proper tonight.
With a wicked grin, Emma Kate set the timer on the oven.
Spinach lasagna is Matt's favorite, and I picked up a nice wine on the way home from the clinic. Anything with spinach might not be my idea of a romantic dinner for two, but it sure is his. I'll reap the benefits.
It's nice what you have with him. I can see how well you fit together.
And I really like your place here. I do, too.
Turning from the stove, she could see through the doorway. Matt had taken off the door and stored it, to the old butcher block table he'd refinished, and where they'd have their romantic spinach lasagna.
Of course, when Matt and Griff sit around, it's how they'd take out this wall here or do such and that with the backsplash. I guess one of these days I'm going to let Matt have his way with building a place from the ground up. He talks about it a lot.
Do you want that?
He's gone native on me, Shelby. Wants a tucked-away place in the hills, in the woods, like Griff has. I guess I can see it, too. Quiet and ours. Maybe I'll learn to garden. But for right now, it's sure easy to step out the door, walk a few minutes, and be at the clinic.
Oh, but wouldn't it be fun to build a house from scratch? Deciding just where you want this room or that room, where the windows would go and what kind?
The three of you could have endless conversations on that,
Emma Kate decided.
I start getting nervous once it goes beyond what color paint for the walls. In an apartment like this, everything's pretty well set. Do you want to sample the wine?
Better not. I can't stay long. I just wanted to see you in your apartment.
Pretty well set or not, it's really you, Emma Kate, bright and fun, she said, as she wandered out of the kitchen to the living room, with its deep cushioned red sofa, crazy patterned pillows tossed over it.
The framed posters of big, bold flowers added more color, more charm.
Some of it's Matt. That jade plant's from a cutting he got from his grandmother. He babies it like his firstborn. It's kinda sweet.
She gave Shelby a rub on the arm.
I was giving you some time, but I'm starting to see you don't want to talk about last night, or any of it.
Not really, but I should tell you her name wasn't Natalie or Madeline. She was Melinda Warren, and the man she said I should be afraid of if he found me is James Harlow. He escaped from prison, Emma Kate, right around Christmas.
She took out her phone. Here's the picture of him Forrest sent me, so you should be careful if you see him. Forrest said he's probably changed his hair, maybe looks some different. He's 6'3" and weighs in at 220, so he can't change much of that.
I'll keep my eye out. This is a mugshot, isn't it?
I think it is.
Taking another look, Emma Kate shook her head.
Wouldn't you think he'd look threatening or hard or mean in a mugshot? What he looks is sort of affable, like some guy who played football in high school and now he teaches social studies and coaches.
I think being able to look affable is how they all manage to swindle and steal.
I guess you're right. And they think he killed her?
Who else?
Shelby had asked herself just that, who else, a dozen times or more, and never came up with a single alternative.
I guess they're talking to everybody who was there last night and asking around town. Forrest said they're trying to get in touch with the detective who talked to me, but they haven't gotten a hold of him yet.
It's the weekend,
I suppose. She, this Melinda Warren, was telling the truth about being married.
To Richard?
This time, Emma Kate laid a hand on Shelby's arm, left it there.
It's most likely. They have to go through some paperwork and background and all to be certain the man she married was the same man I thought I married. But, hell, Emma Kate, it's not most likely, it just is.
Shelby, I'm sorry if you are.
This, too, Shelby had asked herself a dozen times. Was she hurt? Was she sad? Was she angry? The answer had been a little bit of all, but more of simple relief.
I'm glad of it.
Comforted, she laid her hand over Emma Kate's.
As awful as that is, I'm glad of it.
I don't think it's awful.
Smart and sensible, that's what it is.
And turning her hand, she linked her fingers with Shelby's.
I'm glad of it, too.
He thought I was stupid, but what I was pliable. After giving Emma Kate's hand a squeeze, Shelby dropped her own to wander around the small, bright space.
It's infuriating to look back at it now. It's, and you know I use the word sparely, but it suits what's in me over this. It's fucking galling, Emma Kate.
I bet it is.
At the time, I thought it was the thing to keep my family together. But we weren't a family. I thought, once I swallowed hard on it, that was done now. It's not done. Not until they find this Harlow person. I don't know if they'll ever find that woman's jewelry and her stamps. I can't think what Richard might have done with them.
That's not your problem, Shelby.
I think it is.
She walked to a window, looked out at Emma Kate's view of the ridge. The long, steep curve of road, with buildings ticking their way down it as they hugged the sidewalk. Flowers in barrels and pots, heading towards summer flowers in hot reds and bold blues replacing the pastels of spring. Hikers with their backpacks, she noted, and some locals warming the benches outside her grandmother's salon, the barber shop. She could just see the well, just a corner of it, and the young family who stood reading its plaque. A couple of young boys made her smile as they raced after a spotted dog who'd snapped his leash and was running, tongue out, hell for leather. It was a good view of what was what in the ridge. For a minute or so more, she had to take herself beyond that curving street with its hills and shops and flowers. Take it back into what still clouded over it. If the police could find all that, or what Richard did with it, or most of it, I wouldn't have to worry or wonder. Then it would be good and done.
What does worry and wonder get you?
Not a damn thing. She turned back, smiled at the practicality that steadied her. So I'm not thinking about it every minute of the day. Maybe if I don't think about it, something'll pop into my head.
That happens for me when I vacuum. I hate running the vacuum.
You always did.
Always did. So my mind wanders around. Things do pop in.
I'm hoping. Now I've got to get home. Mama had Callie and her friend plant a fairy garden, and I want to see it. Remember when Mama had us plant one?
I do. Every spring, even when we were teenagers. I'll have to try my hand at it if we ever build that from-the-ground-up house.
You could do a miniature windowsill fairy garden right there, using your big front window.
Now, see? I'd never have thought of that. Now you did, and I'm going to end up buying little pots and plants. Wouldn't that look sweet?
Guaranteed.
I could... Hold on.
Emma Kate picked up her phone when it signaled.
Matt's texting me he'll be home in about a half hour. Which means closer to an hour, as he must be finishing up helping Griff on the house. Then they'll have to talk about it a while. Ruminate.
Ruminating can take some time. I've got a date with Griff Tuesday. Emma Kate's eyebrows winged up.
Is that so? And you don't mention it until you're heading out the door?
I'm not sure what to think about it yet, but I want to see his house. I always wanted to see what someone with some vision could do with that place. Those eyebrows stayed raised.
And seeing the house is your sole purpose of this date?
It's a factor. Honestly, truly, I don't know what I'm going to do about what's moving along between us.
Here's a thought.
Lips bowing up some, Emma Kate lifted the index finger of both hands.
Why not try something I don't think you've put up front for the last few years? What do you want to do?
When you put it like that, Shelby's laugh was quick and easy. Part of me, maybe the most part of me, just wants to jump him. And the realistic part is saying, slow down, girl.
Which one's going to win?
I just don't know. He sure wasn't on my list, and I've still got a lot to tick off there.
I'm calling you Wednesday morning to see if you ticked off sex with Griff.
Now Shelby raised her eyebrows, shot out a finger.
That's not on the list. Add it on, Emma Kate suggested.
Maybe she would, for some point down the road. But for now, she was spending the rest of the weekend with her daughter. By Monday, there was still no word on Jimmy Harlow. No sign anyone matching his description had been around the ridge, or asked about the brunette at her hotel in Gatlinburg. Shelby decided to be optimistic, decided it was best to think he'd done what he'd come to do, had exacted his revenge on Melinda Warren, and moved on. She parked outside the salon with time to spare, so walked down to the bar and grill. Optimism was her choice. It didn't have to be everyone's. Tansy answered her knock.
Shelby!
Tansy immediately enfolded her in a hug.
I've been thinking about you all weekend.
I'm so sorry about all this, Tansy.
Everyone's sorry about it. Come on in and sit down.
I have to get to work, but I wanted to see you first and tell you I understand if you and Derek want to cancel Friday nights.
Why would we do that?
It wasn't the sort of encore any of us had hoped for on our debut.
It didn't have anything to do with us, with you, with the bar and grill. Derek talked to the sheriff personally just yesterday. They're looking at it as a vengeance killing, old business that came here with her.
I'm part of that old business.
Not to my way of thinking. It's...
On a whoosh sound, she levered onto a stool.
I still get a little queasy and lightheaded in the morning.
And here I am hammering at you. Let me get you a cool cloth.
I do better with a ginger ale.
Quickly, Shelby went behind the bar, poured ginger ale over a lot of crushed ice.
Sip it slow,
she ordered, then got a clean bar rag, soaked it with cold water, twisted it until it held cool without dripping. When she came back around, lifted Tansy's hair and laid the cloth on the back of her neck, Tansy made a long, long ah.
That really does feel better.
Worked for me when I was carrying Callie.
It comes on most mornings, but usually passes before long. Every once in a while it hangs on, comes back a time or two. Just the icks, you know?
I do. It doesn't seem right something so wonderful should make a woman feel sick, but the prize at the end of it's worth it.
I tell myself that every morning when I'm hanging over the toilet.
She sighed again when Shelby turned the cloth over, laid the cooler side against her skin.
It's passing already. I'm going to remember that trick.
Reaching back, she patted Shelby's arm.
Thank you.
Do you want a couple crackers? I can get some from the kitchen.
No, it really is passing. Now you sit down here and take my brand of cool cloth treatment.
After tugging Shelby around, Tansy looked straight into her eyes.
That Warren person? She was an awful woman, and from what I've been told, didn't give a good damn about anybody but herself. She didn't deserve to die for it. But she was an awful woman. Whoever killed her was awful, too. You didn't even know those people, Shelby.
I knew Richard. Or thought I did. Obviously feeling herself again, Tansy hissed and flicked that away.
And Derek's got a cousin over in Memphis deals drugs for a living. That doesn't make us part of it.
Are you too upset to sing on Friday?
I understand it if you are. We lost a waitress over it.
Damn it, I'm sorry.
Oh, don't be. Her mama had a cat fit, said she might as well work at Shady's Bar as here with people getting shot, as if it happened every week. She was a whiner anyway,
she added with a wave of her hand.
And Lorna's not sorry to see her go, so neither am I.
I'm not upset about it. Not like that. If you and Derek want me, I'm here. I've already started the playlist.
New flyers out today, then. We set a record on Friday.
You did?
Topped our best night when we had the Rough Riders from Nashville by $53.06. You email me the playlist when you're finished, and I'll make sure the machine's set. And how's your mama and all the rest?
Dealing. I better get to work before Granny docks my pay.
She walked in right on time and went straight to work. She gave the garden patio a sweep, watered the pots, opened the umbrellas so clients could sit in the shade if they chose. Back inside, she folded towels that hadn't been seen to while she listened to the chatter of the first customers. When she stepped out, she saw her grandmother had come in, already had someone in her chair. Crystal gossiped happily with the woman she was shampooing. And Melody Bunker and Jolene Newton sat in the pedicure chairs with their feet in bubbling water. She hadn't run into Jolene at all since she'd been back. Hadn't seen Melody since that day in the Artful Ridge. She wouldn't have minded keeping it that way. But since she hadn't been raised to be rude, she stopped by the chairs on her way to check the front treatment rooms.
Hey, Jolene. How are you doing?
Why, Shelby, I swear.
She set her glossy magazine in her lap, gave her head a toss that had her long, high ponytail bobbing.
You haven't changed one single tiny bit, even after all you've been through. Are you getting nails today, too?
No, I work here.
Is that right?
Jolene widened her hazel eyes as if this was fresh news.
Oh, now I think I did know that. You told me that, didn't you, Melody, that Shelby was working at Vi's again, just like back in high school?
I believe I did.
Without looking up, Melody flipped a page in her own magazine.
I see you took my advice, Shelby, and found work you're suited for.
Thank you for that. I forgot how much I enjoy being here. Y'all enjoy your pedicures. She walked to the desk to answer the phone, booked an appointment, then slipped through to check the front rooms. Out of the corner of her eye, she saw Melody and Jolene with their heads together. Heard Jolene's high-pitched giggle, the same as it was in high school. She ignored it and them, reminding herself she had a lot more important matters to concern her. By the time she swung through the salon again, Maybelline and Loralee, mother and daughter, were both perched on low stools doing the scrub portion of the pedicures. So they'd gone for the deluxe, Shelby thought, and walked down to make sure the paraffin was turned on warm. She checked the locker rooms, hauled out used robes, ran through the rest of her morning checklist. She had a friendly conversation with a woman from Ohio, one giving herself a day off from a hiking adventure with her fiancé, and offered to take a lunch order as the woman had booked a full day.
You could eat out in the garden if you want. It's such a pretty day.
That would be wonderful. I don't suppose I could get a glass of wine.
I can make that happen.
Shelby told her, and produced a couple of menus. You just let me know what you want, and one of us will go get it for you. About 1:15? You'll be between your aromatherapy wrap and your vitamin glow facial.
I feel so pampered.
That's what we're here for.
I love this place. Honestly, I just booked the day here so I wouldn't have to hike 3 days running. But it's also terrific, and everybody's so nice.
Could I get this field green salad with the grilled chicken, the house dressing on the side?
And a glass of Chardonnay would just make my day.
You just consider it made. Is the woman out front the owner? Is that your mother? You look just like her. My grandmother. My mama's doing your facial later. Your grandmother? You're kidding me. Shelby laughed, delighted. I'm going to tell her you said that, and you'll have made her day. Now, can I get you anything else? Not a thing. The woman burrowed down in one of the chairs. I'm just going to sit here and relax. You do that. Sasha will come get you in about 10 minutes for your wrap. She walked back into the salon with a smile on her face, went straight to the desk to place the order for a 1 o'clock pickup. She started to turn to her grandmother when Jolene hailed her. That's pretty polish, Shelby said, nodding toward the toes Jolene was having painted glossy pink.
It puts me in mind of my mama's peonies. I forgot to say before, and my goodness, haven't you been busy in here? I heard you were singing on Fridays down at the bar and grill. I was sorry I couldn't make it in to hear you. Then I heard about what happened and wasn't sorry I wasn't there on Friday. I think I'd have had a heart attack or something finding out some woman got shot right outside.
She patted a hand to her heart as if even now it was in danger.
I heard you knew her, too. Is that right?
Shelby gave Melody a glance. I know you consider Melody a reliable source of information, and that Melody's confident you'll push whatever buttons, turn whatever knobs she tells you to.
Why, Shelby, I was just asking
what Melody told you to ask. The answer is no. I can't say I knew her.
Your husband did, Melody said. But that's right. He wasn't your husband at all, was he?
Apparently not.
You must feel just awful being deceived like that.
Jolene picked up the theme.
Why, I'd just about die if I lived with a man all those years, had a child with him, and found out he had another wife all along.
I'm still breathing. I guess I'm not as sensitive as you. She started to step back.
You're not doing anything important, Melody began. I'd like a glass of sparkling water with ice.
I'll get that for you, Maybelline began, but Melody shot her a hard look.
You're busy painting my toes. Shelby can get it, can't you, Shelby?
I can. Would you like something, Jolene?
Jolene had the grace to flush.
I wouldn't mind some ice water if it's no trouble.
None at all.
She turned, went to the back, into the tiny kitchen. She'd stew about it later, she promised herself, but for now she'd get the damn water. She brought out the glasses, handed one to Jolene.
Thank you, Shelby.
You're welcome. When she held out the glass to Melody, Melody knocked it with her hand so water sloshed over the rim.
Now look what you did.
I'll get you a towel.
These capri pants are silk, and now they've got water spots. What are you going to do about it?
I'm going to get you a towel.
You probably did it on purpose, because I didn't want the likes of you working in my store.
Your grandmother's store, last I heard. And believe me, if I'd done it on purpose, I'd have poured the whole glass in your lap. Do you want that towel, Melody?
I don't want anything from your kind.
Shelby knew the place had gone quiet. Even the whirl of dryers had shut off. Every ear in the place was cocked. So she smiled.
Why, Melody, you're just as spiteful and full of self-importance as you were back in high school. It must be a burden carrying all that around inside you. I'm sorry for you. Sorry for me? Sorry for me?
Melody flung the magazine away so it landed with a thwack on the floor.
You're the one came crawling back to the ridge with her tail between her legs. And what did you bring with you?
Her voice pitched louder as temper rose in hot spots on her cheeks.
I brought my daughter and not much else. You're awful flushed, Melody. I think you need this water. You don't tell me what I need. I tell you. I'm the customer.
You just work here sweeping up. You don't even have the marginal skills to polish nails or use a curling iron.
Marginal. Shelby heard Maybelline breathe the word, saw out of the corner of her eye the longtime employee carefully cap the coral enamel with only half of Melody's toes painted.
Melody?
Jolene began, gnawing her lip at the stony stare on Maybelline's face. But Melody only slapped Jolene's hand aside.
You'd better show some respect after where you've come from and what's gone on since you came back here. Whose fault is it some woman got shot right in our town Friday night?
I'd say the person who pulled the trigger's at fault on that.
It wouldn't have happened here if you weren't here, and everybody knows it. Nobody decent around here wants you around. You're the one who ran off with some criminal. And don't tell me you thought you were married to him. Like as not, you cheated people just like he did, and when he died and left you in a fix, back here you come with your bastard child.
Be careful there, Melody, Shelby said as Jolene let out a shocked hiss. Be real careful there.
I'll say what I think, and what most everybody around here thinks, too. I'll say what I like.
Not in here you won't.
Viola stepped up, gripped Shelby's arm hard, took the glass of water she still held, and had been about to heave, out of her hand.
I've just spared you from a soaking or worse, as I expect Shelby was about to do what I'd like to do myself, and that's haul you up out of that chair and slap your head clean around, you rude, ugly-minded, pitiful girl.
You don't dare speak to me that way. Just who do you think you are?
I'm Viola McNee Donahue, and this is my place.
I'll speak to you just as you deserve, and the good Lord knows somebody should have spoken to you long before this.
I'm going to tell you both, to get your lazy, spiteful asses out of my chairs and out of my place.
You get up and you get out, and you don't come back in here.
We haven't finished yet, Melody began.
You're finished, done and finished altogether. No charge for today.
Now get the hell out of my salon. Neither of you are going to walk in that door again.
Oh, but Miss Vi, Crystal's doing my hair for my wedding.
Tears spurted into Jolene's eyes.
I've got the whole day before booked here.
Not anymore.
Don't worry about it, Jolene.
Melody grabbed the magazine forgotten in Jolene's lap, tossed it across the room.
You can just pay Crystal to come to you.
She couldn't pay me enough, Crystal piped up. Oh, but Crystal!
Shame on you, Jolene.
Crystal bent down, picked up the magazine.
We've come to expect that kind of ugly from Melody, but shame on you.
We don't need you,
Melody snapped at Crystal as Jolene blubbered.
Barely a step up from the trailer trash in the holler. We don't need this place either. I only come in here to be civic-minded and support local businesses. There are plenty of other places to go with more class.
You never did learn class,
Viola commented as Melody grabbed up her shoes.
That's a shame, considering your grandmother. She's going to be awful disappointed in you when I call her and tell her how you behaved in my place, what you said to my own granddaughter.
What you said about my great-granddaughter.
That takes you back a peg,
she added, when some of the angry color faded from Melody's cheeks.
You must have forgotten. I've known your grandmother for over 40 years. We've got a lot of respect for each other.
Tell her what you want.
Oh, I will. Now get your second runner-up's ass out of my salon.
Melody sailed out while Jolene scrambled up.
Oh, Melody, wait! Oh, Miss Vi!
She's your choice of companion, Jolene. Maybe it's time you grew up some.
Go on now. Get.
She ran sobbing out the door.
After one still moment, several people, staff and customers, began to applaud.
I swear, Vi.
The woman in Viola's chair gave herself a half spin in it.
I've always said coming to Vi's is more entertaining than watching the soap operas.
Since it was there, Shelby took the water back, downed it.
I'm sorry, Granny. I wasn't going to slap her. I was going to haul her out of the chair and punch her right in the face. Nobody talks that way about my baby.
Or mine. Viola gave Shelby a one-armed hug.
Are you really going to call her grandmother?
I won't have to. You better believe she's calling Flo right now, giving her an earful. Flo loves that girl, but she knows her too. I'll be getting a call inside the next half hour. Maybelline, Lorelei, you take your usual commission for the petties out of the till.
No, ma'am,
they said, almost in unison.
There's no need for it,
Maybelline added.
Viola, don't you make me mad and say another word about it. That girl's lucky I didn't stab her with the cuticle scissors. Shelby, she was talking trash about you for the last half hour. I'm not sorry to see the last of her in here. She always shorts my tip.
Jolene's not so bad when she comes in on her own,
Lorelei put in.
But together they're downright mean.
All right, then. With a glint of pride along with the dregs of temper, she nodded.
I'm treating everybody to lunch.
Lunch?
Shelby checked the time, sighed in relief. I've got to go down to the pizzeria, get a customer a salad, and sneak out a glass of wine. I can get the rest if y'all put an order together.
We'll have ourselves a party,
Crystal declared.
Sick and runner-up's ass.
She hooted out a laugh.
Miss Vi, I swear I love you to distraction and back again. Twice.
Me too.
Shelby pressed her cheek to Viola's.
Me too.
The murder and Melody's eviction from Viola's competed for the richest juice squeezed from the local grapevine. While it was true there hadn't been a murder in the Ridge for 3 years, coming up on 4, when Barlow Keith shot his brother-in-law and winged 2 bystanders in a dispute over a pool game at Shady's Bar, nobody knew the woman currently in a cold drawer at the annex of the funeral parlor that served as the coroner's office. Everybody knew Melody and Viola, so that story took the lead with most. The incident got a fresh boost on Tuesday morning when the word went around that Florence Piedmont had dressed her granddaughter down and ordered her to apologize to both Shelby and Viola. The Ridge waited with bated breath to see if Melody complied.
I don't want her apology.
Shelby stacked fresh towels at the shampoo stations. She wouldn't mean it, so what's the point?
Her offering, meaning it or not, and you accepting it, makes her grandmother feel better.
For once, Viola sat in the chair while Crystal touched up her roots.
I guess I can pretend to accept a pretend apology, if it comes.
It may take a few days, but it'll come. The girl knows where her bread's buttered the thickest. We're slow in here today. Why don't you let Maybelline give you a nice pedicure?
It'd be nice to have pretty toes for your date with Griffin tonight. Crystal and Maybelline, currently the only others in the salon, both slid their gazes toward Shelby.
I don't know as he's gonna notice my toes one way or the other.
A man who's interested in a woman notices everything at the start of it.
That's the truth,
Crystal agreed.
It's after they've got you a while they wouldn't notice if you grew an extra set of toes and painted them every color in the rainbow. Especially if there's a game on the TV and a beer in their hand.
We've got some really pretty spring colors,
Maybelline put in.
There's blues in the night. It's just about the color of your eyes. I've got 3 manis this morning and only 1 petty scheduled all day. I'd love to do you one, Shelby.
If there's time, that'd be nice. Thank you, Maybelline.
What are you going to wear on your date with Griff?
Crystal asked.
I don't know. Really, I'm mostly going over to see his house. I've always loved that old place and wonder what he's doing with it.
Since he's fixing you dinner, you should wear something pretty.
Shelby turned to her grandmother.
He's fixing me dinner. How do you know that?
Because he dropped by to see me Sunday afternoon and asked casual-like if there was something you especially liked to eat or something you didn't especially like. I thought he'd just pick something up.
Now she didn't know whether to be flattered or nervous.
What's he making? I think that ought to be his surprise. You should wear a pretty dress. Nothing fancy, just pretty.
You've got good legs, girl. Good long legs. You got them from me.
And pretty underthings. Crystal!
Maybelline flushed and giggled like a girl.
A woman ought to wear pretty underthings every day anyway, but especially on a date. It's confidence building, I think. And it's always best to be prepared.
If I want to get Jackson heated up, all I have to do is put on a black bra and panties.
Oh, Granny.
Undone.